Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Johann Schmiegel, you've got the world's highest IQ.
Yes, 247.
Wow, did you know that thanks to Salesforce with Einstein AI, everyone's smarter? Now everyone's an Einstein, just like you.
But I'm the smartest.
Not anymore. With connected data and trusted AI, everyone can give customers experiences they've only dreamed of. Oh, look, here's a few Einsteins now.
Hey, hi.
Hola, amigo.
Everyone's an Einstein?
It's okay, Johann, let it happen. The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
The story of the UK is an economy that has got real momentum.
What is broken can be repaired. What is ruined can be rebuilt.
UK inflation is becoming much more homegrown.
We have huge potential as an economy in the UK.
This is a time to tell Israel there is a path to peace.
Our plan for the British economy is working, but the work is not done.
Hello, you're listening to Bloomberg UK Politics. I'm Caroline Hepke.
And I'm Lizzie Burden. Well, Caroline, you know I'm a sensitive soul, so I don't have a problem with politicians tearing up when they resign, especially when their term was cut short. They're only human after all. But take a listen to Scotland's First Minister, Humza Yousaf. He was welling up as he stepped down.
I've concluded that repairing our relationship across the political divide can only be done with someone else at the helm. I have therefore informed the SNP's National Secretary of my intention to stand down as party leader.
Well, Humza Yousaf, he only welled up when he was talking specifically about his family. So it wasn't kind of about the politics of it. But yes, you could be a softie if you like. I don't mind. A cynic might ask whether politicians have learnt to turn on the waterworks for that perfect soundbite because they know that that's the bit that might get used in the news. I don't know. But look, his resignation is seismic, isn't it, in terms of Scottish politics that 2 weeks ago you just would not have seen coming.
Well, you might not have seen it coming a fortnight ago, but it was hardly going well for Humza Yousaf. He'd failed to hit the net zero targets. You had that very public party split over gender last year. And don't forget, there's been the looming shadow of the police investigation into the SNP's funding. But what that leaves me wondering is how much anyone else could have made this situation better. Was anyone taking over from Nicola Sturgeon bound to fail fast and hard like Humza Yousaf has?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I take your point. It is about leadership, and it did seem an enormous political miscalculation and just an obvious one that the Greens were not going to simply roll over. And as you say, there was also, I would add, the crushing defeat in October in the Rutherglen by-election to the Labour Party, of course. And it also seemed kind of amazing to political watchers that Yousaf might hand over power to one of the arch critics of the Scottish government, that being the former First Minister Alex Salmond. So yes, a massive Sturgeon-shaped hole, I think, in the Scottish government. I mean, do you think that Kate Forbes, a return, or John Swinney can do any better? I mean, the divide is within the party.
Well, let's throw it forward because we have got a guest who's been gauging the feeling in Scotland on that very question. How will this affect the polls? Ipsos Scotland Managing Director Emily Gray joins us now. Emily, lovely to have you on the podcast. We've got Humza Yousaf standing down, but I wonder if you can answer my question. How much are the SNP's problems his, and how much are they the party's?
Sure. Well, you know, as you say, it's been a really dramatic few days that I don't think anyone would have foreseen a couple of weeks ago. So in terms of Humza Yousaf's time in office, he hasn't been very popular among voters in Scotland, you know, certainly compared to Nicola Sturgeon before him, who was, who had positive approval ratings for the public throughout most of her time in office, including right up to the point of her resignation. So that said, obviously, he was dealt a very difficult hand. You know, he didn't have any sort of honeymoon period, you know, very, very soon after starting to be First Minister. the kind of financial woes and the scandal around the SNP, but you know, really made the headlines, and that's been very difficult for him. But certainly, you know, the SNP looked to be in disarray. I suppose the question is, under a new leader, whether they can improve their standing among voters and arrest that decline in the polls that has been happening in their vote share in Scotland over the last year or so.
Yeah. Part of Humza Yousaf's speech at Bute House was about sort of multicultural Britain and, you know, his diverse leadership, diverse leaders in other positions of power across the UK. I wonder what we think now about the other runners and riders who might take over. Maybe let's just take one, Kate Forbes, for example. She didn't make the cut last time round. What about this time? She is particularly socially conservative in a way, very much, you know, perhaps the opposite. She's got very strong Christian values. What do you think that the polling show about Scotland's social values, whether they align with her? Would she be, you know, the next person to take over from Yousaf?
Yeah, well, if you cast your mind back to when Nicola Sturgeon resigned, you know, once the candidate to replace her as First Minister narrowed to just three contenders, so Kate Forbes, Humza Yousaf and Ash Reagan, Kate Forbes was the most popular of the three among the wider public, whereas Forbes and Yousaf were pretty much neck and neck among SNP voters. Of course, he pipped her to the leadership in the end. So certainly, I mean, in terms of ability to reach out to voters who beyond current SNP support, Kate Forbes would potentially bring that. I think the challenge is that, of course, the SNP will be a minority government, so we'll need to reach out to other opposition parties to work together if they're going to get laws and budgets through in Scotland. And the Greens have said that they'd be unwilling to work with Kate Forbes given her socially conservative views. So, you know, certainly John Swinney, who's of course been leader before, is being talked about as a front runner.
Okay, that's really interesting. So perhaps Kate Forbes aligns better with the nation rather than the party. But can you just give us an outline of how different Scotland's values are to the rest of the UK's? Because of course it's going to matter when it comes to the general election, the tone in the SNP.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, you know, of course, the SNP under Nicola Sturgeon and then also under Humza Yousaf have talked about their progressive values, but the SNP is quite a broad church in terms of the membership and also in terms of the voters that previously it has attracted to really dominate Scottish politics over the years. What we've seen over the past year or so is that dominance really fall back. So Labour, of course, have been on the up over the past year or so under Anas Sarwar in Scotland and Keir Starmer UK-wide. And so, you know, the SNP will be wanting, under a new leader, to certainly arrest that decline in polls and win back some of the voters who previously would have voted SNP but are now looking elsewhere.
What happens if there's a snap election in Scotland? You know, that would be the first time since 1999. If that does happen, which party do you think would benefit most?
Well, I mean, I think we should say that that's now looking less likely. You know, it looks as if the votes have no confidence, you know, the First Minister and the government may still go ahead later this week. We don't know that yet. But of course, now that so Humza Yousaf has announced his intention to resign, but he hasn't actually resigned yet. And it's only once he's actually resigned, if MSPs are unable to agree on a new First Minister within 28 days, then a snap Scottish election will be triggered. But that, I have to say, I think is unlikely. That said, on kind of If you look at how both the SNP and Labour have been polling in Scottish Parliament, Scottish Parliament voting intention polls recently, what you see is that, again, the SNP have been on the decline with Labour improving. But that said, I don't think Labour can be complacent either. You know, they will need to win a good number of seats. So I think, you know, I think neither the SNP nor Labour, and certainly not the Conservatives, benefit from a snap election anytime soon.
Well, in terms of the general election, what could go wrong for Starmer's Labour in Scotland between now and then?
Well, the momentum really has been with Labour in Scotland and, of course, across the UK recently as well. So Labour will, of course, hope that the SNP being in crisis will add to that, and that will help them increase their tally of MPs. And, of course, you know, the only way is up for Labour in Scotland, really, because at the moment they just have two Scottish MPs at Westminster. But what they're looking to do is win at least, you know, anywhere between 20 and 25 seats at the next general election. And of course, every seat that they win north of the border then helps the party and helps Keir Starmer's party UK-wide. But I think that's something that really benefits Labour among the electorate just now, both in Scotland and in the UK overall, is this feeling among voters that it's time for a change. So, for example, here in Scotland, you know, most people, 7 in 10, say that Scotland needs a fresh team of leaders. And don't forget, the SNP have been in government here for 17 years now. And that time for a change sentiment is, of course, also very difficult for the Conservatives and Rishi Sunak UK-wide as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Although I suppose Yusuf would have argued that he was change, you know, and youthful change at that, 37-year-old leader. But look, are there parallels to what's been happening, you know, in Scotland and in England or UK wide? I mean, things have gone from bad to worse, frankly, for the ruling party in Westminster as well as in Scotland. You've gone from Boris Johnson to Rishi Sunak with Liz Truss sandwiched in between, Nicola Sturgeon to Humza Yousaf. Does that mean we could get even worse in terms of political disarray under whoever replaces Yousaf if we follow certainly the Westminster model?
Well, look, in the UK wide polling, I think, you know, the results really do look terrible right now for both Rishi Sunak and the Conservatives. You know, every time if we get fresh polling results in, we think, oh, they can't be worse than they were last time. And actually, you know, because of course at Ipsos we've been tracking voting intention and also public ratings of the Prime Minister for decades now. And recently we have recorded some of the worst ratings that we have ever seen for both the Conservative Party and for a sitting Prime Minister.
Okay, Ipsos Scotland Managing Director Emily Gray, we thank you for that pretty bleak analysis, depending on which side of the fence you sit, as we analyse Humza Yousaf stepping down and look ahead to what it means for the general election.
Yeah, I think the main issue also is what we take away from that in terms of Scottish independence. You know, that the feeling may remain in Scotland around that issue, but certainly the leadership much eroded for the SNP. I think it's going to be very interesting to continue following politics north of the border.
Well, that's it from us for today. If you like the programme, don't forget to subscribe and give it 5 stars so other people can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
This episode was produced by James Wilcock, and our audio engineer was Sean Guastamacchia. I'm Caroline Hepke.
And I'm Lizzie Burden. We'll be back with more tomorrow. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg UK Politics. Listen weekdays at noon on DAB Digital Radio in London.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, let's face it, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. There's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.